Please pray with me. Loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word spoken to us today. I ask, Lord, that by the presence of your Spirit with us, that our hearts and our minds would be enlivened to you, so that we might discern what it is that you would teach us this day. To this end, God, I ask that you would test these words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts. May they be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is nothing quite like going to hear live jazz. It's electric, it's cerebral, it's visceral, it's unexpected. When you go to hear the musicians with whom you are familiar, yes, you will hear all of the standard pieces that you know and love. However, there is also an exciting twist in going to hear jazz live, and that is in hearing the solos played by the individual musicians. Frequently, they are improvised. These solos represent a musician who is composing in real time, taking the idea of the song that they are currently playing and then introducing interpretation and variation. I believe that applause is rarely so well deserved as for a musician who successfully improvises an exciting solo. As we enter into the second week of our exploration of prayer, it may be helpful to hold in mind the claim that I made last week about the nature of prayer. Namely, I said that prayer is encounter through which we become friends with God. That is, we enter into the prayer eternally being spoken by the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son for the sake of being changed by the Father. However, offering a description of prayer can only ever get us so far. If we truly want to develop a life of prayer, then we must engage in the practice of prayer. But how should we pray? How can we develop a more passionate, intimate, and effective prayer life? And can any of these things possibly be accomplished through ritual prayer? Now, as Presbyterians, we have a bit of a mixed relationship with ritual. On the one hand, we do have some liturgical elements within our services. We have sung doxologies, prayers of confession, and the recitation of the Lord's Prayer within our worship service, to name a few of the elements. However, on the other hand, we don't have the same kind of consistent repetition practiced by our Catholic, Episcopalian, and Orthodox family members. In fact, there are probably a number of us who have come out of those traditions, who believed that their liturgies had become rote performances rather than acts of worship. Perhaps some of us believe that prayers must be made up on the spot if they are going to be genuine, if they are going to be heard by God. However, as Presbyterians, we are also a people who believe in the importance of basing a religious practice upon Scripture, rather than what simply feels good or comfortable or something that we have done time after time and it's familiar. So let us consider the biblical witness regarding ritual and especially regarding ritual prayer. Beginning in the Old Testament, we can see that Genesis has plenty of examples of worship and prayer that have a ritualistic note to them. However, it is not until we move into the other books of Moses that we find the Bible's first true advocate for the practice of ritual. Throughout the various laws recorded in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we find repeated explanations for how to conduct proper worship within the tabernacle and in the daily lives of Israelites. The most important prayer for Israel, the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," is commanded to be repeated, to be taught, to be worn, sewn into our clothing, and to be etched onto fences. Essentially, it is to be so ritually important that it is incorporated into every single facet of our daily lives. Or there's the priestly blessing, which we have heard today from Numbers, which is still used frequently as a benediction at the end of worship services till this day. God, God's self, commands this as a blessing to be repeatedly, by which I mean ritually, prayed over the people. This sort of prayer isn't simply an act of proclamation, but it is also in some way performative. That is, it helps enact the blessings of God as it is spoken by God's priestly representatives. It loses no power in its repetition, but rather amplifies the community's awareness of the blessing that they have received from the Lord. And then there is Jesus, who tells his followers to pray in a certain way, to use certain words. This would have coincided with first century Jewish practice, which had set prayers in the morning and evening to be said each and every day. Jesus revisions these prayers as a way of enacting God's reign on earth, the giving of daily bread, the forgiveness of sins, and deliverance from times of trial. Much like the priestly blessing, the Lord's Prayer isn't diminished by ritual, but rather it reasserts on the regular that we live under God's reign than rather under the other powers of this world. Besides liturgical prayer, Jesus also commands ritual in the sacramental acts of baptism and communion. So clearly, Jesus doesn't understand ritual as inherently rote, ineffective religion. Now, I hope that it is apparent from the scriptural perspective that we are commanded to pray ritually. However, it may not immediately be apparent why this is the case. What benefits are there, after all, to ritual prayer that we can't find elsewhere? And how might ritual prayer help us to encounter the Lord as a friend? Well, if you have a long memory, you might recall that in my sermon on prayer last fall, I claimed that prayer might be compared with breathing. On one level, it is natural and essential for life. However, we also can discipline our breath to be more effective at singing, exercising, sleeping, controlling anxiety, etc. Prayer is similarly natural and essential for human life. However, for many of us, prayer stops only at the most superficial of levels, where it is simply something that passes in us and through us, much like our breath. This speaks to the fact that many of us are unaware of the possibility of truly improving, of strengthening our lives of prayer. Yet Jesus' disciples in our passage today come and ask the Lord to teach them to pray, and Jesus readily does this because Jesus knows that there is the possibility for human prayer to be honed, to become something more powerful and effective for meeting with the will of the Lord. More powerful and effective than something that many of us will ever dare to make it. Now, if you are like me, I would imagine that you want to become better at prayer, that you want to become more aware of how God is meeting with you in prayer, more attuned with what God is accomplishing all around us all the time. Yet we often become discouraged with our prayers, feeling as though we don't really know what to pray, since sometimes it doesn't seem like what we're praying about ever gets accomplished. Perhaps even in our darkest moments, we feel as though our prayers may not even be heard as we speak them. This, I would suggest, might be a reason for reciting the prayers of the Bible, the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the church, the prayers that have been laid down before us and preserved by the wisdom of our tradition, are ideal for at least two aspects of our prayer lives. One, teaching us how to pray, and two, offering prayers for us when we don't know how to pray. So first, ritual prayer trains us. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken with Christians about a sense that their prayer lives are dull and uninspired, how they frequently find their minds wandering during times of prayer, and because they don't feel like they get all that much out of prayer, they simply don't spend time engaging in it. Repeatedly reciting prayers like the Lord's Prayer, the Prayer of St. Francis, or the Serenity Prayer helps form the language of our prayer lives. These prayers teach us how to offer praise. They teach us how to make requests. They teach us how to repent. As we pray them over and over again, their words will be at the forefront of our minds, informing how we interact with the world all around us. They will solidify the desire to do God's will in the everyday aspects of our lives. Now, the way that ritual forms our prayers and lives isn't all that dissimilar from a jazz musician executing an impressively improvised solo. This solo just can't come out of thin air, but rather is dependent upon that musician studying jazz, thinking about jazz, practicing jazz. It is through constant meditation upon the rules and standards that that musician can compose a solo in real time. For an improvised solo to work, the musician must be fluent in the language of jazz itself. So too with prayer. By regularly meditating upon the standard prayers given to us by the church, we will come to a point where our prayers can soar with the power of meeting God as our friend, both in times of prayer and as we go about the daily aspects of our lives in the world. This, however, doesn't come easily. Much like how one can't become a jazz virtuoso overnight, so too does the practice of honing our prayer lives take time and effort, discipline. As the wise Presbyterian preacher Marjorie Thompson says, there is no substitute for giving time to the practice of prayer. Like most things, we learn best by doing it. Developing the habit of regular prayer is like building any new habit into our life. It takes firm commitment, creativity, and perseverance. And this practice of prayer is greatly benefited by leaning on the teacher that is ritual prayer. After all, how can we share in friendship with God unless we share in the language that God has handed down to us? And the only way to share in this mutual friendship and language is through persevering in spending time with God in prayer. The other facet of ritual prayer that I find so important is having words to pray when no words will come. There will be times for all of us in our lives when we will feel distant from God. times when we doubt God's goodness and grace, as we face trials and sufferings of every kind. Perhaps you have a child who is something of a prodigal. Or maybe you or your spouse or a loved one is facing a terminal illness. Maybe you are so racked with depression that your mind itself feels like an enemy and cannot produce words of hope to speak to your God. Accept the gift of the church's prayers. Continue with the discipline of praying, even in those times when you don't know how. Pray the Psalms of Lament, or perhaps go through St. John of the Cross's Dark Night of the Soul. Lean upon the words of the Lord's Prayer, for it is strong enough to bear your grief. Perhaps you already regularly practice the discipline of ritual prayer. Or maybe you've never given it much consideration beyond saying the Lord's Prayer each Sunday during our time of worshiping with one another. Regardless of where you find yourself, there are some simple steps that you can take to begin teaching yourself the life of prayer advocated by Jesus. So, if you find yourself being easily distracted during your times in prayer, you might want to introduce an element of physicality into your prayer life. Tools such as prayer crosses, rosaries, or even something simple like a stone can help assist in focusing our minds by keeping our hands busy with the work of prayer. In this case, you might want to choose a short prayer, such as, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Say it slowly, over and over again, as your hands move along the beads of the rosary, or rotate the cross with each repetition, or rubbing your finger against the stone. As you repeat a prayer or a word of scripture, it will gradually become the thought foremost on your mind or on the tip of your tongue. Another easy practice is engaging in a set daily prayer at a consistent time of day. As soon as you're dressed in the morning, follow the service for morning prayer in the Presbyterian Book of Common Worship or the Episcopalian Book of Common Prayer. Set an alarm on your phone for 10 minutes before you eat lunch, and take that time to go through the printout that I've included in your bulletin that we spoke today for our prayers of the people. Don't reserve the Lord's Prayer for Sundays alone, but rather have it a regular part of your day, perhaps praying it over each meal. Bless all the people around you, both aloud and within your mind, using the words of the priestly blessing found in Numbers. Perhaps invoke it over people 3 or 4 times a day. The church has been richly blessed by our forebearers who wisely chose to record the prayers of the saints. Let us follow after them, learning from the prayer lives of those who are further along the path of holiness than we might be ourselves. Heed Jesus' instruction on learning how to pray so that you might have a bold, dynamic, intimate life of prayer. Learn the blessings of the Bible and speak them regularly over the people in your life. May you be a person for whom prayer is so central that people can't help but see it as a ritual that is guiding your day to day. May you be a person who makes a habit out of encountering the Lord as a friend in prayer. Amen. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of giving us the prayers that have been handed down over generations. We ask, God, that you would help us to be a people who cultivate a life of meeting with you, sharing in the words not only that come out of our own minds and our own hearts, but that also link us up with your other friends, your family within the church. God, may we boldly become a people who follow after you in prayer. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.